More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, Relationship SOS. Experiencing relationship problems, not sure where to start? We'll help you set a course toward healing. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to learn.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Relationship SOS. Are you experiencing relationship problems or not sure what to do next? Whether it's with your spouse or kids or a friend or a family member, relationships are challenging. We want to help you set a course toward healing. Give us a call. The number, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
So are you having a hard time making a relationship with someone you care about that you would like to be closer to work? Is your spouse getting under your skin? Are your kids more distant than you'd like? Are you not getting along with a parent, a sibling, or other extended family member? Is there a friend who's hurt your feelings? Whoever it is, relationships can be hard. Let us help you make these things a little easier.
The number again, 877-573-7825. Of course, if you're listening to the More to Life podcast, you can still get your questions in via email. And that address is questions@moretoliferadio.com with the number 2, questions@moretoliferadio.com. We love hearing your voice if you're listening live, so give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us if you're having struggles in any relationship with someone you care about.
I think relationships may be harder today than they've ever been. You know, there's so much pseudo-relationship going on the internet, and people can read each other's posts or messages and take offense more easily or assume things that aren't put up on a page. People are more distant from each other than they've ever been. I think a lot of relationships haven't bounced back from being locked away from each other. People really don't know how to come back and socialize as much as they want to, or there were hurt feelings through something that happened during that time. I think a lot of people are struggling with being afraid to give offense, or not being afraid to give offense, and then suddenly they found out they have, and they certainly didn't mean to. And in the worst part, I think, is time. Everyone seems so overloaded with things that they have to do, things that are put on the schedule, especially if we're talking about people who are raising children. Kids are being kept at school and activities and all these things through the weekend now. You know, you can have 4 games on a Sunday afternoon. How do you have relationships with people when we never have any time? And sometimes that even means the people under our own roof. And if we can't give time and attention, then our relationships can't really thrive. So a myriad of reasons why it is difficult these days, especially, to have a relationship even when everyone is well-intentioned. Are you struggling with a relationship with someone that you care about and it's just not going well? Let us help you fix that today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. 573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're saying, what is that? And how does that relate to my life?
Mm-hmm.
Well, good questions. When St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections on how we could discern God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully considering God's design in creation, and specifically his design of our bodies.
The theology of the body reminds us that the most important way we can build the kingdom of God is to create what St. John Paul called communities of love. That means it's a Christian's job to build healthy, holy relationships with all of the people in our lives. One of the lessons we need to learn to accomplish this goal is how to manage conflict, tension, and the differences of opinion that we all have gracefully. Humility is the virtue that makes us open to the experience of others, even others we disagree with vehemently. Each of us has a story that deserves to be heard, and each of us is wounded in a way that deserves to be respected. The positions we hold, the choices we make, are rooted in those stories and those wounds. We can't hope to build a relationship with another person, much less change their minds, if we aren't willing to take the time that's necessary to understand how they got to where they are. Listening and empathizing are the two most important tools in addressing conflict gracefully.
Well, that's right. And of course, doing this isn't easy, and, you know, it's next to impossible if we rely on our own power. We need grace. Christians have to remember to invite God to be the mediator of our disagreements, right? We need to remember to begin difficult conversations in prayer, ideally with the person we're struggling with, but at the very least, on our own, as we be in any challenging conversation. We need to reflect intentionally on what virtues we might need to practice in that conflict so we can have more productive discussions and be our best selves and find ways to help the other person be their best self too. And finally, we need to work hard to listen to each other rather than reacting to each other. You know, for the Christian, managing conflict and these relationship difficulties well isn't just a psychological skill. It's a spiritual exercise. It's an opportunity to grow in all the virtues that help us be healthy, holy people and build healthy, holy relationships, which, again, is how we build the kingdom of God. 877-573-7825. We're talking today about relationship SOS. Are you having a hard time making a relationship with someone you care about what you'd like it to be? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Well, we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, your servant St. John Paul reminded us that building your kingdom meant working on our relationships and working to make them as healthy and holy as we could so that the world could see the power of your grace working in our lives and see a witness of the difference that the Christian vision of love makes. But Lord, it's hard. People are different and they are irritating and frustrating and difficult and they get under our skin. Help us to know how to respond to all those situations charitably. Help us to find graceful ways to heal the rifts between us and the people you've placed in our lives so that we can be instruments of your grace and healing and witnesses to your love in all the relationships that we have. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father, the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Relationship SOS, as we talk about overcoming the various problems we have in all of our relationships. You know, are you having a hard time making a relationship with someone you care about what you'd like it to be? Is your spouse getting under your skin? Are your kids more distant than you'd like? Are you not getting along with a parent or a sibling or other extended family member? Or maybe there's a friend who's hurt your feelings. Look, whatever it is, relationships, they're hard. We want to help make things a little easier. 877-573-7825. 7825.
And I'll tell you, Greg, as you were giving that list, I could just feel some of our listener kind of doing those, some of our listeners doing that kind of quiet eye roll when you named one of those kinds of people in their lives. And you're probably thinking, no, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. If your shoulders went up a little bit, if you did that internal eye roll when you heard that person in your life mentioned, let's make that stop happening. Let's connect you with God's grace, and let us help you make those relationships, flourish. Give us a call today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's talk now with Meg, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri on Covenant Radio.
Meg, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi. It took a lot for me to call, but I listen to you guys every day, and I am looking for some advice on how to stay patient with my three children. It's something I've been to counseling for before, and I've decided that, you know, going to church every Sunday and listening to you guys have helped me a lot. But I just recently went to confession yesterday with my daughter, who was making her first communion this Saturday.
Oh, okay.
And I already lost it this morning with them, and it hurts really bad. And I think it comes from my last pregnancy. I had a very unhealthy pregnancy and a traumatic birth experience, and I think that's when things changed.
Okay, so... can you walk me through kind of what happened maybe this morning and what contributed to you kind of losing it?
Yeah. I have a daughter who is allergic to everything outside, so she takes tons of medications, and I couldn't get her to take it, and we were running late for school. And then when we got outside, I realized that she didn't take one of the most important medications, and they were going to be tardy for school. And then she came out and she couldn't find her medication, and we couldn't tell if, like, one of the animals got it. And I just, you know, got upset with her. And then I realized after I dropped her off from school that we never even said, I love you. And I feel really guilty. And the last thing I did was yell at them.
God bless you. Hey, Maggie, I want to thank you for you have a beautiful heart. And being a good parent doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means that we love our kids and that we're learning from our mistakes. And, you know, the fact that you have the humility and the courage to call in this morning, I think makes you a great mom. And I just want to thank you for being willing to look at this and say, how can I do better?
I mean, you are putting these kids at the forefront of your heart and mind, even in the midst of chaotic days. I'm going to say one thing, and it sounds like an aside, but I got to throw it in. It has happened in every family that I know. When a child is getting ready for their first communion, their first confession, and their first communion, the enemy goes after the whole family. I don't know why, but it always happens. The kid gets more obnoxious. The parents get more impatient. The siblings get more difficult to deal with. So breathe a little bit. I think this is a season, and once you get through that, you'll find more peace again. But the chaos and all of that can certainly add to our impatience, our irritability with our kids when we're just kind of trying to do it all, especially morning and last thing at night.
So let me ask you the question. So I'm gonna focus in on the specific thing that happened this morning, but you can generalize from there to other things with what I'm sharing. So I know you're asking the bigger question of, you know, how can I be more patient in general, but I think the walking you through this will help you figure out how to do that. When all that stuff was going on this morning, can you tell me what was going through your head about it? What did it mean to you that your daughter couldn't find her medication and that you guys were late for school? What was the voice screaming in your head about?
Worried that she was going to have a severe allergic reaction to something outside, and I was worried that, you know, they're going to be late for school and get tardied. And then, you know, when kids miss a lot of school or they're tardied, it goes against their day's absence. And then you have to deal with child services has to check in. So all that stuff is going through my head. And I kept telling myself that I need to stay calm. And, you know, you just went to confession last night. You need to be a better mom. Like, you're going to regret yelling at them. And, you know, I hate listening to myself scream and yell at my kids, and they don't deserve that. So...
No, I understand. And so you know, there was a certain sense where you felt, you know, if something happens here, I'm going to lose my kid, right? There's a sort of a terror that kind of came over you with that.
And, Meg, I'm kind of hearing that as well when you're saying the last thing, you know, I didn't get a chance to say I love you. I feel like you're trying to tell me that you're still dealing with a lot of fear and grief after what you went through with the pregnancy. Now, had you actually lost the child in that birthing experience? Is that what
I heard you say? No, it was more so... The one that's allergic to everything, she's six. My three-year-old, my son, is who... I was very unhealthy during the pregnancy, and then I almost died after birth. He was...
Okay. So a ton of fear there.
Fighter, yeah. Yeah. So I do. I suffered from extreme paranoia of losing my kids, and it was more of after I had them, I wasn't worried about myself. I was more worried that he was my rainbow baby, too. So a lot of stuff happened.
Okay. So you have had loss. You had the great fear of them losing you, you losing them. And it sounds like when things get out of control, it sort of brings up some of that fear. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's
all right. So what you're describing basically is, you know, every parent has hectic mornings, right? But whenever you have that more hectic time, it's going to tend to trigger those more panic reactions that piggyback then on the present situation. You know, I'm feeling agitated. I'm feeling anxious in the moment about getting the kids out the door, getting them to school, you know, making sure that my daughter has her medicine. And you know, you start feeling agitated. And then what happens is our brain starts to make connections between, you know, the panic I'm feeling now and the panic I felt before, and it all just merges at once, where I just feel completely overwhelmed, and then I become this person that I don't like, you know. So the key to all of that is really making sure that you're building time into things and really being patient with yourself, which is easy to say and hard to do. But let me suggest how to do that. What I'd like you to do with this, when the kids come home today, is just sit down with them all and say, you know what, this morning was really rough. And I wasn't the mom I wanted to be, and we didn't have the morning that I wish we had. What can we do? Let's really problem solve this. If we could have done this over again and handled it better, what do we need to do differently to make sure that we could have a good morning together? And, you know, you'll have some ideas. Of course, you're going to lead this because you're mom, and you have more experience and creativity than they do. But still, including them in part of the process so that you can talk through how could we be a better team in getting ready in the morning and getting out so that maybe we could have some time for even a story or a time for, you know, cuddles or a time for whatever, you know, something that they enjoy. And you know, so that you're making it, you're getting their buy-in, and you're working on it together, and you're learning from the mistake, and you're figuring out how to handle it better together. The more you can do that, not just with this, but with any situation, right? Because it's inevitable that we're going to lose it from time to time. That's just part of parenting. But if we can go back to our kids and say, let's learn from this and grow together and figure out how to handle it better. You know, that's how we're all growing in virtue. That's how we teach our kids to be gentle with themselves when they make mistakes. It's how we learn to be gentle with ourselves when we mess up.
And I think from the mistake from this morning, you can say, okay, from now on, we're prioritizing getting up even 15 minutes earlier, and every single one of us is going to give, you know, I'm going to give you each a hug. I'm going to spend a couple of minutes seeing how your night was, because you want to build that connection with them right from the start. So it's not you're always waiting to connect with these kids that you love so much till they're home or till nighttime or till you have a breath. Start the day with that hug, that I love you, right from the get-go. So no matter how it goes, and we're hoping it'll go better with the plan you'll make with them, but you know you have that with them.
Meg, I think you can really run with this suggestion and apply it to other situations as well, but I want to give you a resource that's going to help give you daily support.
In real time.
Yeah, it was so that we created an app called Catholic Home. It's spelled HOM. It stands for Households on Mission. And there are tons of resources on there, downloadable activities, videos for parents, and all kinds of stuff. But the most important thing on the app is our whole team of pastoral counselors and Catholic Family Life coaches are on the app every day interacting with parents just like you, answering their questions, hosting moderated discussions, helping you connect with other families who are in the same situation and going through the same kinds of things. It's really a community that's guided by this expert advice and all these really creative resources to help you feel like you can have what it takes to create that more loving, caring, connected Catholic household on mission.
You're always welcome here on More to Life, but if it's like, you know, 3 in the afternoon and you still need somebody to say, hey, what do I do in this moment? How do I do this? We're there for you on a daily basis.
Yeah, check it out. The first month is absolutely free. Just go download the app. It's available on Android or iOS at Catholic HOM.
And if you need more pastoral counseling to get through all of this, if it's all being brought up again for you for a reason, don't hesitate to contact us at CatholicCounselors.com. You'll really get some good, faithful pastoral counseling support there.
But, Meg, I just want to say again, you know, you have a beautiful heart. You are a good mom. I know you're feeling pretty down on yourself this morning, but a good parent isn't a parent that never makes mistakes. A good parent is one that's willing to admit the mistakes and learn from them, and that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And
we're praying for your whole family through this First Communion season, and your child has a magnificent, sacred, wonderful experience.
And we are here for you however we can be. Thanks so much for the call. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about relationship SOS. If you're experiencing a relationship problem with any person you care about, let's talk it out and find some grace-filled ways forward. We'll also be joined by Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club, who'll be talking about how we can help our kids navigate difficult relationships. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues in just a minute.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Online betting can be fun.
Wow,
it's kind of like whitewater rafting. The rush of excitement, the thrill. Well, until your raft is heading straight for a huge waterfall.
Oh, no. Start paddling.
For tips that will help keep you afloat, go to don'tregretthebet.org. Sponsored by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and the Michigan Gaming Control Board. Have a gambling problem? Call the Problem Gambling Helpline at 1-800-270-7117.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Relationship SOS, as we talk about overcoming those relationship problems with anybody that you care about. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She's the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11.
Hi, Rachel. It's so good to have you with us.
Glad to be here.
Now, Rachel, you said to me earlier that you talk to parents and they say, I would die for my kid. But if you actually ask those same parents, are you willing to have tougher conversations with your kid? They're like, no, that's too awkward.
I'd rather die.
Talk to us about what parents need to be doing in terms of conversations and relationships with their children.
Well, I think we need to start at the beginning, as with all things. Keep an eye on your kids as they're making their friendships and relationships very early on. You know, we as Catholics can want to forgive everyone, which we are called to do. But that can set our kids off on a bad footing when friendships happen and when romantic relationships happen. So make sure that we're keeping an eye on our kids, that they can forgive the bully, but they don't have to be best friends with the bully. And so let your kids know to have healthy friendships that then lead to healthy romantic relationships. Teach your kids to say no. They don't have to go to every party they're invited to if they don't want to. They don't have to go to a person's house if you think it's going to be unsettling for them or for you. That they set up really good, as we say, healthy boundaries, even when they're younger, and especially when they become teenagers or get romantically involved. The friendships we want our kids to have are those ones that help them become their best selves. So, if they are in a relationship where they're always the one who has to put up the money or have the conversation or initiate the contact of, do you want to come on over and do something or go to a movie? Well, maybe that's not a well-balanced relationship. If your child is the one always giving and never receiving, that's probably a relationship that needs to change or to end.
And that is really something that Christian kids can fall into very easily, because they're so, like, enculturated to giving all the time because it's Christ-like. But they need those boundaries to stay healthy, and they won't learn them unless we are talking them through it, right?
Exactly. And we can mirror that for themselves. If they see us complaining about a friend who's always demanding of us, then they're thinking they have to put up with it. And so we can mirror to them how to end a relationship in a healthy way, how to continue to be a prayer partner for that person as they find the help they need. But we don't have to be the therapist. We're not trained. That's where you guys come in. And that. And the other thing, though, is have conversations with them until the day you die. You know, you don't stop parenting when they're 12. You don't stop parenting when they're 18. And you don't stop parenting them when they're young adults. Be able to pick up the phone and reach out to them. How are you doing? And then take their phone calls when they reach out to you. And just be a good listening ear and that reminder that I'm always praying for you. You're always are on my heart and on my mind. And I want you to be your happiest, best, holiest self forever.
I love that.
Rachel, thanks so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure talking with you. And if folks would like to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club, we encourage you to go to BeholdPublications.com. Again, that's BeholdPublications.com to learn about the Little Flowers Girls Club. And we are taking your calls right now on our show titled Relationship SOS as we talk about all those different relationship troubles you're having with all the people in your life. Let us help you find grace-filled solutions at 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
At Glass Doctor, our trained specialists are experts at fixing foggy and cracked glass, leaving any residential window looking like new without replacing the entire window. Bring back the view of any window with Glass Doctor. Visit glassdoctor.com to request a free estimate on repairing your foggy or cracked windows. Let Glass Doctor bring back your view.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your pain. Oh, yeah.
In a world shrouded in confusion, the good news of Jesus Christ is the only light that conquers the darkness. Join Ave Maria Radio at the Good News Conference and renew your faith. August 30th through September 1st in Minneapolis, speakers include Bishop Robert Barron, Monsignor James Shea, and Arthur Brooks. Book your ticket before April 30th and get a $200 discount. Response has been tremendous, and we have limited spots left. Go to AveMariaRadio.net's travel page and sign up now. Let's build our faith and be a blessing to the nations.
On the next Epiphany.
And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Hi, Vanessa Dunhagarmo here. Faith Fridays debuts with Marcus Peter, who applies biblical theology to the upcoming Sunday readings. Then Dr. Lisa Marie Carson will give us an update on the Heart of Christ Clinic.
Epiphany, weekdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. In sports, teams win or lose not only because of the skills of their players, but also how well the players work together. The players on winning teams support and encourage one another, even in the toughest fight. Marriage is the same way. Couples who tackle marital conflicts with a sense of teamwork do better than couples who enter conflict ready to battle one another. In fact, research finds that happy couples have 5 positive interactions for every negative interaction, even during conflicts. That doesn't mean these couples avoid tough issues or that they aren't honest and direct with one another. But even in difficult conversations, these couples go out of their way to make sure that their spouse feels loved and cared for. They offer words of encouragement and affirmation. They work to regulate their own emotional temperature. They take breaks to refocus the conversation. And they cultivate sympathy for their spouse's position, even when they disagree with it. In short, their priority isn't to win. Instead, it's solving the problem in a way that respects their spouse and strengthens their marriage. For more tips about managing marital conflict, read our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Or for more personalized, faith-filled help, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today our show is titled Relationship SOS. Are you experiencing relationship problems? Whether that's with your spouse or your kids being more distant than you'd like, or you're not getting along with your parent or sibling or other extended family member. Maybe there's a friend who's hurt your feelings. Whoever it is, relationships are hard. We want to help make things just a little bit easier, at least. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Who knows? Maybe we can make it a lot easier. That'd be even better.
And indeed. Let's talk now with our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Indiana Online.
Hey, Anonymous. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
I'm struggling this week, and I know it's probably a longer conversation. Okay. But I listen to you guys regularly, and I try to take to heart what to do for our marriage, like not react and pray. And I'm just in a situation that's just a vicious cycle of my husband and I got in an argument on the phone Monday night in regards to carpooling for our 5 children. And it came out of the blue to me because I tried to handle all that and said, here's where, who's going where. And I got the impression through an earlier text that day that my husband was having a bad day and he did not like what I had come up with. And he has a history of yelling and harsh, critical, and so I just get really tired of it, and I clam up or I have yelled back. I did not yell back, but I said, I've taken this from you guys, like, you cannot talk to me that way. I will talk to you when you're not being disrespectful. And then it's brought back on me that I was being disrespectful. So then I said, well, I'm going to end this conversation. And I hung up the phone, and we haven't, like, talked since. But I don't know where to go with this, because I feel like I don't remember one time in our marriage where if we've had an argument that he comes to me and says, do you want to talk about this? Like, in a calm way, it's always a sarcastic comment. Well, I don't have a say, so why should we talk about it? Nothing changes. So I've reached out in texting on Wednesday, and he didn't respond. Then I did yesterday, and he did respond, but we couldn't talk because he got called away to a meeting. And so here we are. I tried to talk to him this morning just to ask a question about today, and he said, well, I don't have a say, so why does it matter?
Do you two live under the same roof?
Yes. It's ridiculous. I know.
So do you get any time in the same house where you can approach this with him personally at all? Because all I'm hearing is texts and messages and no face-to-face real time.
No, because of our five children's activities, like, we literally don't sit down until, like, I was told.
It makes it easy. Makes it easy to avoid each other in some ways.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not, I know it's not healthy, and I know I make mistakes. I just need to know.
Sure,
I just want
us
to get to heaven and help each other.
You mentioned that. Is your husband faithful? Yeah, I mean, is the faith important to him?
We pray together. Say that again. I'm sorry.
No, you answered the question. You said you pray together. You're not praying together now, though, right?
No.
Okay.
No, it's ridiculous.
All right. And you mentioned to our screener that he's not willing to go to counseling. You've talked about that before, or what's your experience there?
I have brought it back up in the past, and he said, well, what are they going to tell us that we don't already know? And I just...
A lot, apparently.
So much. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So have you tried to go... have you tried to set anything up on your own yet?
No, and I don't... This sounds so dumb, but if he is the main breadwinner and I'm paying for counseling, I mean, is that... Can I just go?
You sure can. Yeah, absolutely you can. I mean, God, if you had cancer, you wouldn't ask his permission to pay for the treatment. You know, there's a cancer in your marriage here, and it's really not just wrecking the relationship between you and your husband, but it's providing a terrible model for your kids, and you see it, you know, but he's not willing to address it. So, you know, as that prophetic woman of God, part of getting him to heaven, part of, you know, getting each other to heaven is being that strong woman of God that says, look, I love you, but this is unjust. This isn't right. We need to learn something new, and whether you want to go or not, I made the appointment. I hope that you'll come, but I'm going with you or without you, and things are going to change. You know, because right now, I think things are kind of working more for him than they are for you, because he knows how to set up a situation that's so uncomfortable for everybody that eventually you just kind of move on from it and try to accommodate him and tiptoe around him, and, you know, that works for him. He's going to have to come to a place where he realizes this doesn't work anymore. So there are two suggestions I have for you. The first one is, don't wait for him to come to you. It's okay to go to him and say, but this is how you want to approach him. It's going to be a little antagonistic, but that's okay. You're doing it for a purpose. When he seems a little calmer, right? Well, let me back up. So when somebody speaks to you, when somebody's treating you this way, it's important to say to them, look, I love you. I'm happy to have this conversation, but not like this. When you think that you could approach me a little more respectfully, we can have this conversation, but I'm going to need you to be able to come back and really, you know, apologize for the way you've been and be willing to talk to me about how we can handle this conversation differently. You know, when you're at that place, we can talk. Now, in most situations, that works eventually. Nobody likes to hear that, but they get defensive all the time at first. But eventually, most people come around. Your husband's better at avoiding that than the average bear. So what you're going to need to do is go to him and say, listen, you seem a little calmer right now. You know, are you ready to say that you're sorry for the way you spoke to me and figure out how we could have this conversation better? Be careful. Okay, you're not saying, are you ready to say you're sorry for me? It's not an angry thing. It's not an I'm judging you thing. It's a, look, I love you and I want to have this conversation, but are you ready? You know, but you really hurt me. You know, are you ready to apologize for the way you treated me and figure out with me how we can have this conversation better? Now, he's probably at first going to say, there you go again. You're the one who da-da-da, and you're the one who's really disrespectful, and you're the one who needs to apologize to me. And at which point you say, okay, I see that you're not in a place where you can really give me what I need. So we'll take a break. And then, you know, 2 hours go by, and he seems, you know, he's puttering with something, and he seems calmer, at least superficially, and you go up to him again and say, hey, you seem like you're in a better place. You know, you really hurt me. Are you ready to apologize for that and figure out how we can handle this better together? And maybe he loses it again, right? And then so you back off, and you say, fine, I see that you're not in a place where we can have this conversation. That's fine. And then you wait another 2 or 3 hours, and you bring it back up again. And the point is, you're sending the message, two messages. One, I love you, you know, and two, you hurt me, and I'm not going to let that go. Because in a healthy relationship, what happens, there's a natural pause. When one spouse says to the other, hey, that really hurt my feelings, the other one says, you know what, I'm sorry. That's not what I meant, or they try to clarify, or whatever. They address it, right?
Both,
and then they get back on track.
Both because they care about their spouse, but also because they want to be a better person than that. There's both motivators going on in that situation.
But in this case, you have to build that pause into it naturally. And since he's really good at avoiding you, you're going to have to bring it to him. But you bring it to him in that way that says, hey, you know, you seem like you're in a better place. I'd love to be able to resume the conversation, but you really hurt me. And are you ready to kind of say you're sorry for that and, you know, move forward? So you're establishing the relationship, but you're also saying this is what needs to happen before we can move on. He's going to get angry and defensive about it, but if that's the only thing you say to the guy for a month, that's okay. The point is, you're letting him know we're not moving on until we figure out how to do this better. The second thing I want to say is that it's absolutely appropriate for you to seek counseling for yourself, but what I would recommend is finding a marriage-friendly therapist. You're not going specifically for individual counseling. What you're doing is working with a counselor who knows how to do what's called systems theory, which means that they don't see you as an individual. They see you as part of a relationship. And so everything that they do, they're talking about how you can either set boundaries or initiate discussions or whatever that moves the relationship forward, even if you're the only one working on it. And so when you're working with somebody who's trained that way, you can start making changes in the relationship that make him feel a little unsettled in a healthy way, that can either force him to the table and have you guys both working with the counselor then, or at least start making healthy changes in the relationship in spite of himself. If you work with somebody who's just trained as an individual therapist, they don't know how to do that, and so there's about a 30% chance of success with a person like that. It goes up to over 80% when you're working with somebody who's actually trained in marriage-friendly therapy or systems therapy.
But I want to add one more thing to this, okay? This is how you handle this larger picture of his behavior and basically his bullying of you, which is where you guys are at. But as you're telling me these stories, I'm hearing him say over and over again, well, I don't have any say in this. You do this whole thing. You guys, the fact that you're down to just texting and not seeing each other, I want you, as you move through this and you get especially past this horrible time of him not talking to you at all, to begin to put some routines into your family life where you are meeting as a family and not it's mom assigning who's picking up who and he's feeling like he just has to, you know, do stuff. Get him to buy into this so that you're sitting there going through some of the things of the week. But that's down the road after you have handled this particular horrible situation.
Well, and Lisa's absolutely right. It may be difficult to do that because when I see a guy presenting like this, this is a guy who was bullied as a kid by his parents.
Yeah.
And who grew up feeling like he didn't have a right to say anything. And so he's seeing his abusive dad or mom's head on your body. And then he starts to imagine all the stuff coming out of your mouth as one of his parents who never let him talk. That's his problem. He needs to work out with a professional at some point. The only way you can approach that, though, is to keep coming back to him and saying, you know, that really hurt. You know, and are you ready to talk about that and really figure out how we could handle that better? Because you really hurt me. And if he says, well, I don't have any say, like, well, honey, I appreciate that you feel that way, but you are really hurting me. And that's the thing you're never willing to look at. And I need you to be ready to look at the way you've hurt me so that we can figure out how to move forward. Well, you're the one, and that's okay. Just keep coming back to it and give that message. We talk more about this in our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, which is available at CatholicCounselors.com. But I would really encourage you to reach out either to somebody that you trust locally who's a marriage-friendly therapist, or if you're looking for faith-filled answers, contact us at CatholicCounselors.com. We do a lot of this kind of work. We can start helping you make changes in the marriage all by yourself, and even eventually bring him to the table, hopefully. We're very used to kind of this dynamic that you're describing. So don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com for more support. Thank you so much for the call. We've added you guys to our More to Life prayer list, and we're here for you. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Relationship SOS. We're talking about those times when you have a relationship problem with someone you care about, whoever it is. You know, relationships are hard. We want to make things a little easier at 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from Psalm 133, verse 1.
How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together as one.
It's sort of our mission statement there from the Psalm 133, reminding us, as we said earlier in the show, that building the kingdom of God is really all about working on our relationships so that God's love can reorder our lives, and we can be a witness to the power of God's love in our lives. Well, we are taking your calls about all those difficult relationships in your life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We'll be back with your calls in just a minute.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
The Catechism of the Catholic Church on Animals, paragraph 2417. God entrusted animals to the stewardship of those whom he created in his own image. It is legitimate to use animals for food and clothing. They may be domesticated to help man in his work. Medical and scientific experimentation on animals is a morally acceptable practice if it remains within reasonable limits and contributes to caring for or saving human lives. It is contrary to human dignity to cause animals to suffer or die needlessly. It is likewise unworthy to spend money on them that should, as a priority, go to the relief of human misery. So the Catechism is quite clear. We have a great duty to exhibit kindness to animals, and at the same time, understand that animals were created not for their own sake, but for the sake of the human.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Ave Maria Radio and the Ave Maria Radio app.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and our show today is titled Relationship SOS. By the way, if you ever miss any one of your favorite EWTN programs,
or want to rehear something so you can catch it again and get it all down on paper,
all the EWTN programs are available on Spotify. You can check out weekday shows from the Sunrise Morning Show to Cresta in the Afternoon to yours truly, More to Life. Plus, you can check out all the latest weekend programming as well. It's all on the Spotify app, so check it out.
It's a great resource. If you've heard something and you want somebody else to hear it too, you can play that podcast for them. So join us there, but also join us live every day right here on EWTN Radio.
The number is 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Evie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Louisiana.
Evie on Catholic Community Radio. What's going on?
Hey. Hi. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have called in before, and I've had issues with my daughter-in-law and my son when we go out to visit. They keep in their same routine. It's like if they deviate from anything, I'm butting in, or I don't, like, I say my piece and I don't get my way, and like, oh, what, you don't like my family to be around them? And that's kind of not it. I'll say something and they'll give me all those, like, well, you don't like my family, you're getting, you know, aggravated about something you shouldn't be getting aggravated about. And then, like, 2 days later, I find out the real reason, because they didn't want to go there because XYZ. So I feel that without them communicating with me, like, why they don't want to do that, it just, I feel like, am I not there? Am I not important? That's how I'm feeling, because every time I suggest something, it's like, up, no, up, no, up, no. Okay, well, what, am I going to come and visit and just do what everything you guys want to do? Because I would like to see things in Florida. I live in Louisiana. And bring my grandkids to places where I'm going to go run with them and play with them and be active with them. And I'm just to the wayside. And the thing that got me sparked again is my son mentioned, well, every time we always get together, you know, my daughter-in-law thinks that she feels like there's going to be issues. So before we even get together, she's on guard. And
how old are the grandkids, Evie?
I just had a new one. Luca will be 4 in July, and Lola was born in November. So I have a new granddaughter that I haven't met yet. So I need to meet.
And how often? How often do you get to see them?
It's been a year. It was July of last year.
So Evie, I think your intentions are great. I think you're a great grandma, and you want to really be a part of your family. And I think all that's beautiful. Here's the challenge, and I understand why you're taking it personally, but let me try to provide some context here. When grandparents aren't able to be around regularly, that's not your fault. That's you. They live far away from you. That's you know. But when they're not able to be around, down the street from your kids and you see them every day, then little kids, like four years and younger, especially the infant, they don't know who you are, right? And they're very much about routine. So when we're grandparents ourselves, we often have that fantasy of, I can't wait to go do this awesome thing with my grandkids, and I'm going to have fun with them this way. And then our kids or adult kids say, hey, guys, they don't really know you that well. And they don't even say that much.
They just think that won't work, your daughter-in-law's.
And so what they're trying to do is say, could we just kind of help you ease into your relationship with your grandkids and get them used to you being part of the routine and seeing you around here so that they can feel comfortable doing things with you?
Your job right now as a grandparent who goes to see them is to slide into their world gently. You'll have your time to come where you can hit up everything in Florida that you guys want to see, please God.
Or if you want to just take a day and go do those things,
do
that's fine too.
On your own. Like, you can go and, get a rental car and go and give them a break. But right now, it's about just sliding into their lives and their routine, observing who they are as a family, supporting that, and just making yourself a pleasant person to just be there so that the kids can, start climbing all over you because they get to know you and they love you in their own safe space.
And when your adult kids see that happening, where they can see, okay, our kids are comfortable with grandma, they're really having fun with her, then they're going to be more open to you kind of coming up with some plans to take them do this thing or the other. But if you just kind of come in there with your plan, even though they're the good ideas, even though they're coming from the best place, it's not going to play well. Like, I'll just share an example. On Catholic Home, we talked about this earlier. We had one of our members ask the question about how their 3-year-old hates his grandfather. And what can we do to help our 3-year-old love grandpap? And what it turned out was that granddad came in the house, and he was all big, and he was like, hi, kids, come here, give me a big hug, let's go do this. And he was just too much, right? He was coming from the best place. He was a good grandfather, good guy.
He was excited.
And he was excited to see his grandkids, but it just overwhelmed them, right? And so the 3-year-old was reacting to all that input by saying, get away from me, scary person, right? And then granddad was upset, and the parents were upset, and the kids. So what we just did was suggest to the grandfather, when you come in, be a little quieter, get down on the 3-year-old's level, don't expect him to come up to you right away, just say, hey, buddy, how's it going? And just make it, make him available, become part of the family routine, and within, 20 minutes, the kid was climbing all over him, and he was willing to do things. And then, as weeks went by, the grandfather was able to kind of do things independently with him, and the kid was looking forward to the visits. It changed everything.
And pre-planning prevents poor performance. So really talking to them in the couple of weeks leading up and saying, hey, I just want to slide into your routine. I want to make this visit very easy, very cozy, very gentle. What's your routine right now? What do you need from me
and are there things that you'd like to do that could be fun for all of us?
Exactly. Yeah. So really, it's about you entering into their world very gently.
So again, I completely understand where you're coming from, Asen. We're grandparents ourselves. We all have those fantasies about when I finally get to see my grandkids, this is what I'm going to get to do, and it's going to be awesome. And then you feel thwarted. I totally get that. But especially because you don't get to see them very often, if you want to have the kind of relationship that you see in your head having, you're going to have to come at it a little bit differently, so that everybody can kind of get used to you, and you can show them that you're part of the routine and part of the rhythm, and then from there, you'll be able to do all those other things that you're thinking of. Evie, again, you're a great grandma. You got a, coming from a great place. You have a beautiful heart. Just change your approach a little bit and don't take it quite so personally. I promise you it's going to come around. That's all the time we've got for today's program. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And if you've been listening to this and thinking, this is all great, but I'm not sure what to do about this relationship that's important to me. I'm not sure how to handle this situation with my spouse. I'm not sure how to close that gap between me and my adult kids or my parent or my sibling or other person that's important to you. Well, we've got tons of resources at CatholicCounselors.com, including our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. We mentioned the title earlier with a previous caller, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And, of course, for all the parents out there who are really looking to create a more loving, caring, and connected Catholic home, check out the Catholic Home app. That's spelled H-O-M. It stands for Households on Mission. That's Catholic Home, where you can get daily support from Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors and Catholic family life coaches, as well as tons of resources to build a more loving, caring, connected, faithful Catholic household. Of course, if you're looking for more personalized assistance, you can always come on over to CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. It's all there at CatholicCounselors.com. Folks, get out there and celebrate the life God wants you to have, because with His grace, you know what? There is so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.